versus the United States of America.
May it please the court. Counsel Steve Meyer on behalf of Michael Rowe, who seeks reversal of the district court's decision denying his motion made pursuant to 2255 and asks for remand to be resentenced in accordance with what I would call the guideline result in this case. As a preliminary question, one must ask, what is it about Mr. Rowe's case that would distinguish it from the large surge of other cases that have proceeded before this court on similar type issues? In my viewpoint, there are three. It's the facts of the case, the prejudice suffered by Mr. Rowe, and, for lack of a better description, the timing of when his case took place. Unlike the vast majority of cases making a claim similar to Mr. Rowe's, he went to trial. Very often, the cases before this court have involved pleas, stipulations to the amount of drug that's involved, or a situation where the evidence is so overwhelming as to the amount of drugs that there can't be any characterization that the individual was harmed. Such is not the case here. Mr. Rowe was originally indicted with two counts. One was a conspiracy charge to distribute cocaine for the time period of November 1995 through April of 1996, April 12. The other charge in the indictment alleged that he delivered cocaine on April 4. Now, the differences between these two are important. The amount of cocaine that was delivered on April 4th, according to the conclusion reached by the district court at the sentencing hearing, was approximately a pound, 453 grams. It is that count for which Mr. Rowe was acquitted at trial. He was found not guilty. The balance of the cocaine.
Counsel, I don't understand what any of this does, given your initial hurdle, of which forfeiture is right out of the box. This argument was not raised at trial. It was not raised on direct appeal. And it is the law in this circuit that Apprendi arguments not raised on direct appeal are forfeited. They're just gone. And of all the Apprendi forfeiture cases I've seen, yours is actually the weakest for the defendant, because this court decided the direct appeal in April 2000 while Apprendi was under submission in the Supreme Court of the United States. If your client wanted the benefit of Apprendi, all he had to do was file a cert petition. Cases like Smith say that Apprendi claims are waived even if they came up years before Apprendi was a gleam in anybody's eye. I don't see how you get past forfeiture.
Well, there are actually two parts to that, Your Honor. This claim is not solely based on Apprendi, and it is in part a question of the...
There's nothing else it can be based on.
Well, it can be based on the sufficiency of the indictment, with all due respect.
That's not raisable on collateral attack at all.
Well,
that can certainly be raised on direct appeal.
Well,
any claim that can be raised on direct appeal is forfeited.
This court in Kelly and Belanger said that, for example, a filing of the 851 notice was required and could be raised on collateral attack because it didn't give this court jurisdiction to impose the enhanced penalty. And that's exactly what I'm arguing here.
I don't understand the argument.
Well,
to the extent you're arguing that there's a jurisdictional problem here, you're asking us to overrule quite a large number of cases, which were summarized in Bjorkman. To the extent you're making any non-jurisdictional argument, it's forfeited.
Just so the court is aware, Your Honor, I understand the decision and I've read the decision in Bjorkman. The Supreme Court has accepted...
At the time we decided Bjorkman, the Ninth Circuit was to the contrary. Even the Ninth Circuit has now agreed with Bjorkman. En banc, you know, jettisoned its disagreeing position. The Court of Appeals are now unanimous on this point.
Your Honor, the Supreme Court has accepted cert in the case of United States versus Cotton. That argument is going to be heard...
Cotton is not a jurisdictional case.
April 18th.
It is not a jurisdictional case. I'm actually surprised that you're not relying on Harris against the United States, which will be argued March 18th. Harris is actually the substantive issue you're trying to present here. Your reliance should be on Harris. Cotton is completely irrelevant to your claim.
Well, Cotton is relevant from the standpoint that I'm arguing that Mr. Roe should have been sentenced according to the default provision of B1C. That's what the charge called for. He was convicted of conspiracy, and the penalty provision should have been B1C. I mean, I know, based on Bjorkman, the viewpoint of this court. I do say, however, that the Supreme Court is considering, in the next 45 days, three cases which are addressing a variety of the issues raised by petitioner in this case.
And none of them has anything to do with forfeiture or the scope of collateral attack.
But they do have something
They're
to do
They're all direct appeals.
No. Cotton does deal with the question of jurisdiction. As a matter of fact, the petition for cert
filed... Is Cotton a direct appeal or a collateral attack?
It is a direct appeal.
Right. That's your problem, as I say.
I will rely on my briefs if the court does not have any further questions. I would balance my time.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, my name is Dan Graber. I represent the United States. I also was the assistant that prosecuted Mr. Roe. In this case, the district court properly denied Roe's 2255 petition. Roe argues that there's an Apprendi error in this case and that the 623-gram drug amount that Judge Crabb found was an error because it should have been by the judge by the jury beyond a reasonable doubt.
What do you think is the bearing on this case of Harris against the United States?
I don't think it has any bearing, Your Honor, because I think he's got too many problems. The first problem he's got is that there isn't an Apprendi error. The statutory
That's
maximum...
That's the Harris question. Do you know what Harris against the United States is?
Brandishing. 924C, brandishing. Should brandishing be an element?
No, it is not what Harris is. There's a case called Harris against the United States. It raises the question whether the mandatory minimum penalties have to be set by juries rather than judges. It will be argued in the Supreme Court in less than 2 weeks. As I said when your adversary was talking, I'm very surprised that neither side evinces any awareness of Harris. Harris will decide the substantive issue in this case. Now, it may be that there's an antecedent forfeiture question that will prevent us from applying to this case whatever Harris decides.
So wouldn't Harris be moot, Your Honor, if we've got a cause and prejudice issue that he can't get around and a retroactivity issue that he can't get around? On collateral appeal, even if the Supreme Court finds it's an Apprendi error, how does he get around?
We will soon be talking not about Apprendi, but about Harris errors.
And if that's the case, and we're talking about a Harris instead of a Apprendi, Your Honor, then we've got an issue of cause and prejudice, and we've got an issue of retroactivity. Because he's stuck in time as of right now, and he's got to be able to prove to this court right now that he's got cause and prejudice, and counsel's arguing the jurisdictional argument, which is not the proper argument. This court rejected that in Bjorkman, And there has been no circuit that has said that that substitutes for cause and prejudice. And the retroactivity argument, Your Honor, we've got four circuits now. The Ninth Circuit just came out with an opinion on Friday, Sanchez-Cervantes. The Ninth, now you've got the Ninth Circuit, the Eighth, the 11th, and the Fourth that have all addressed retroactivity on first-time 2255s, and all four circuits now are saying Apprendi doesn't apply retroactively. So I don't believe, Your Honor, that Harris is going to change anything, because you're still going to have the retroactivity issue. Now, this court hasn't directly ruled on retroactivity. It's had a number of chances and hasn't yet. I've briefed the issue again, hoping the court would address it. But he has absolutely no support to get around the retroactivity issue. In fact, every circuit that's ever looked at it, and now they've got the big four, have said it's not retroactive. So that's why I don't believe, Your Honor, that the Harris issue is going to help him in any regard. I don't have anything else unless the court has questions.
All right. The court will take the case under advisement. The court is adjourned until tomorrow morning at 9:30 a.m. Or are they sitting there? Is the court sitting tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Thank you.